Please turn back to a portion of scripture where we read in the Gospel of John, and there in chapter 8, verses 31 to 47. And by the grace of God, this morning we'll be looking at verses 41 to 47. And we'll be looking at those verses under the title, The Children of the Devil Exposed by Christ. The Children of the Devil Exposed by Christ. And the hymn we just sang, the chorus says, "But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." And I want to ask you this morning, do you truly know whom you have believed? Are you persuaded? Do you truly believe? Are you persuaded? Well, the Lord Jesus says, if you believe and you are persuaded, if you love him, you will obey his commandments. You will keep his commandments. The children of the devil exposed by Christ. Now in our study, remember the Jews of the time of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, especially their leaders. They could not get away from the importance of having Abraham as their father. They understood what it meant, and no matter what the Lord Jesus tries to say to them, they will not leave that. They will not get away from that. It is a fact that they kept repeating and restating. In verse 39, and the first part of verse 39, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Keep emphasizing that. They want the Lord Jesus to know this is who their father is. Because in that claim, by holding on to that claim, they widely believed that all those great merits and the blessings of Abraham were then available to them, because they were available to his descendants. So they had to hold to that. They had to insist upon that. Because by insisting upon the fact that they are descendants of Abraham, then they know that the merits and the blessings of Abraham were also theirs. So our Lord Jesus Christ then makes it clear. He now makes it clear to them, all of them, at that point in time, that the true spiritual descendants of Abraham are not those who have descended from him according to the flesh. They are those who are descendants of Abraham according to the faith of Abraham. It is those who believe as Abraham believed that are the true spiritual children of Abraham. Look at verse 39 again, the second part of verse 39. Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham." Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 40, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." Abraham believed. "I look forward to my day." You are not showing that. In Galatians, and there in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian brethren, he says to them in Galatians 3, and there in verses 6 and 7, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Only those who are of faith, only those who believe as Abraham believed, only they are the sons of Abraham. Abraham's true sons must act in harmony with what Abraham himself did. He believed. And the Lord says to them, "You don't believe." Abraham believed. He exercised faith. You are not exercise in faith. Abraham was not a murderer, says the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are seeking to murder me. You want to kill me. Abraham loved and obeyed the truth, but look at you. You have rejected the truth as it is found in the Son of God. You have rejected the truth that I have spoken to you, the truth that I have brought from God the Father. Abraham received and served God, even as we saw there in Genesis 18, 1 to 5. He received and he served God. But you have rejected me. You have vehemently rejected me, the Son of God. You have refused me. You will not listen to me. And we saw that at the beginning of our studies in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, didn't we? When we looked at chapter 1 of John's Gospel in verses 10 and 11 of John chapter 1, the Apostle John writing says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. But who is he? Why should they receive him? Who is he? Again, in the epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 1, we saw that this morning in the adult Sunday school, in Hebrews chapter 1, and there in the first three verses we have it. The Hebrew writer said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, we saw that at the beginning of our studies, right at the beginning of the Gospel of John. John tells us, in the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And who is he? Verse 14, he tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is him, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Abraham received God. He looked forward to my day, says our Lord Jesus Christ, but you have rejected me. And you clearly don't look forward to my day. So that the contrast between these people and Abraham could not be sharper. The Lord says, you are so much unlike Abraham, whom you claim to be your father. How can he be your father? And in verses 41 and 47 now of John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus Christ shows why they were the devil's children and not Abraham's children. Certainly not God's children. He points it clearly. He shows them why it is that they were the children of the devil. In the first place, he says they do the works of their father. And then in the second place, he says, they have the family character of their father, the devil. They are the devil's children because they are doing the works of their father. In the second place, it is because they have the family character of their father, the devil. They are surely his children. They belong to him. Everything is clear, our Lord is saying to these people. So as we look at the children of the devil exposed by our Lord Jesus Christ, let's first of all look at the fact that they do the works of their father. They do the works of their father. John chapter 8, there again in verse 41, right at the beginning, the first part of verse 41, the Lord Jesus Christ says to these people and to their leaders, you do the deeds of your father. You are doing the works of your father. You've been claiming to be the children of Abraham. Well, you are doing the works of your father. Now what's happening here is, having shown the works of Abraham, because that's what our Lord was showing, remember, in verses 39b to 40, where he said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. Verse 39, then verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do so. So he has shown them the works of Abraham, the works that Abraham did. And these are the works that the descendants of Abraham should do. This is what the descendants of Abraham should be doing. Normally, this is how they will work. These are the things that they will do. But the Lord is saying to them here, you are doing the works of your father. Right at the beginning of verse 41. You are doing the works of your father. And those works clearly don't agree with the works of Abraham. They are clearly in opposition to the works of Abraham. So you are doing the works of your father. At this time, he hasn't mentioned who the father is. But he is making it clear to them that, no, they are not spiritual descendants of Abraham. Spiritually speaking, they are not the children of Abraham. Remember, the Lord has given it to them. He has said to them, yes, you may be the children or the descendants of Abraham according to the flesh, but spiritually you are not. Spiritually, you are not his children, you are not his descendants. Now, since you are not doing the works of Abraham, since you have rejected God's word, since you clearly want to kill God's son, for that is your desire, you want to kill me. See, you want to do all these things, you clearly cannot be Abraham's children. Abraham never did that. Abraham received God. He received God's word. He looked forward to my day. He rejoiced to see my day. You obviously don't. Abraham was not a murderer. You want to commit murder. You want to kill me, clearly, openly. It's obvious. Your spiritual father must be the one whose works you are trying to do. Your spiritual father must be the one whose biddings you are after. Those are not the works of God. Those are not the works of Abraham. What you are doing is the work of your father. You are serving your father. You cannot be Abraham's children. And it will appear very clearly that the enormity of what our Lord Jesus Christ was saying, the implications, what our Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them in these words, hit them. Hit them at this point very, very hard. And so they reply to him. So they respond to our Lord Jesus Christ. They say, we are not only Abraham's descendants. Yes, according to the flesh. No, but we are God's children spiritually. That's what we are. And that's their claim. You say we're doing the works of our father, and not that of Abraham. But the point is, yes, we are Abraham's descendants according to flesh, but we are also God's children, spiritually speaking. Look at verse 41 again. The Lord has said to them, you do the deeds of your father. In response to him, they say, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. In other words, we are God's children. When they say we're not born of fornications, yes, there may be connotations and wicked and evil connotations with regards to the birth and everything of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing they were saying here, which was common in the Old Testament, is that if you are not a descendant of Abraham, if you are not born of God, you are not a child of God, then you are a child of idolatrous relationship. You are born in idolatry. In other words, you are a child of the world. And that whore is anti-God's children. So in other words, you are the child of the devil. So they say, we are not born in fornication. We are not born in idolatry. We are not the children of the devil. No, we are children of God. God is our father. And that they insist, and that they emphasize. So not only are we descendants of Abraham according to flesh, we are also the children of God. So spiritually, we are God's children, not the children of the devil. That's what they are saying to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how they respond to him at this point in time. And no doubt they were thinking of scripture. For remember, they had the scriptures in Exodus chapter 4. And in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 4, a scripture which surely the religious leaders were aware of, there they could claim indeed to be children of God. Because in Exodus chapter 4, and there in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 4, then the Lord speaking, then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So these Jewish leaders and the people said, no, we are the firstborn of God. We don't belong to the devil. We are God's children. We know that. We have it here in scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 31, there the prophet tells us in Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 31, says, they shall come with weeping and with supplications. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. So they said, no, we know who we are. We are God's children. Not only descendants of Abraham, but God's children. And then the Lord Jesus, looking at them, he now says in verse 42 of John chapter 8, he says to them, the true children of God are characterized by love for God, love for all the members of the family of God, especially love for the Son of God. So he looks at them in verse 42 and he says, if God were your father, you would love me. The characteristics of the children of God is that they love God. They love the family of God. They especially love the Son of God. You don't love me. If you were God's children, you will love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. That characteristics you do not have. You have no love for me. If anything, you have hatred, murder in your hearts for me. That's what you have. Now the true children of God don't have that. They know what it means to love God, to love one another, especially to love the Son of God. You don't love me. You see, the true children of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is saying to these people, the true children of God could not fail. They could not fail to know and to love the Son of God. You don't know me. You don't love me. You hate me. True children love. They love me. They know me. You don't know me. You don't love me. Perhaps the best commentary to that first part of verse 42, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, if God were your father, you would love me. The best commentary in the scriptures is found in 1 John chapter 5. And there in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 5. But in order to put everything in context, we'll read from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. Reading from 1 John chapter 4 verse 20, the Apostle John writes, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. The Lord says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, that person is born of God. These people did not believe that. And everyone who loves him who begot, everyone who loves God the Father, also loves him who is begotten, also loves him who is the Son. You cannot say you love God the Father and not love the Son. Now you don't love me, clearly. The Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them, it is obvious that you do not love God. Not to love the Son is not to love God. This is clear from what our Lord Jesus Christ says to them. So he says, you are doing the works of your Father. And secondly, he says to them, you have the family character of your father, the devil. You are not Abraham's children. You are the children of your father. You are doing his works, the works of your father. And then now he comes straight to them. He says, you actually have the character of your father, and that is the devil. Your character, the way you act, the way you live, the way you conduct yourselves is clearly evidence that you are not Abraham's children, you are not God's children, you are the devil's children. That's who you are. In the first place, in verse 43 of John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus Christ asks a rhetorical question. He looks at them and he says to them, why do you not understand my speech? Why don't you understand what I'm saying? And then he answers the question himself. He gives them the answer. He says, it is because you are not able to listen to my word. And our Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, the implication of what he is saying is very simple here. He is saying you could not. You're not understanding my speech because you are not able to bear to take in the truth. You are not able to bear to take in my word. You don't like it. You're not able to bear to take it in, to receive it as the truth. That's why you don't understand. That's why you're not listening. But why is it that they are not able to bear it? Why is it that they are not able to take it in? And the Lord continues. He answers. It is because they have the family character of their real father. And that is the devil. Verse 43, he says to them, why do you not understand my speech? It is because you are not able to listen to my word. Because you are not able to take it in. You cannot afford to take it in. But why? He goes on in verse 44. It is because you are of your father, the devil. You have the character of your father, the devil. That's why you cannot. That's why you can't take it in. And he lists three things there that are characteristic of the devil, which is now part of their being, their character, their nature, which they are reflecting before all. He says in the first place, like the devil, you want to carry out his murderous intentions. He was a murderer from the beginning, and you want to murder me. You want to do the desires of your father, the devil. You want to carry out his murderous intentions. He has always been a murderer. Verse 44 again. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And you clearly want to kill. You want to murder me. You want to kill me. In Genesis chapter 2, we see it there, right from the beginning. It was the devil. He brought death. There in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 of Genesis chapter 2, the Lord says to Adam, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." You shall surely die. And in chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The Lord has said, if you eat it, you will die. The devil convinces Adam through Eve to eat. And he knew what would happen. He as good as killed Eve and Adam. He was a murderer right from the beginning. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he says to them in verse 12 of Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin through one man, Adam." And how did he come? The devil. The devil literally killed Adam and Eve right from the beginning, because though they did not die physically, spiritually they were dead. Spiritually they were dead. In 1 John chapter 3, the Apostle John, writing, tells us what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. 1 John chapter 3, and there in verse 8 of 1 John chapter 3, he says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Like your father the devil, you want to kill. Secondly, in that verse, the Lord Jesus Christ says to these people, like the devil, who is your father, you cannot stand the truth. You cannot stand the truth. You cannot take it in, because there is no truth in you, just as there is no truth in the devil. Whenever he speaks of his own resources. He speaks as a liar that he is. And it was through a lie, remember, that Satan actually brought death. He questioned God's word. Did he actually say that? And later on in Genesis chapter 3, he said to Eve, "You will not surely die." That was a lie. He knew it was a lie. But he couldn't help himself, because that is his nature. He has always been a liar. And that lie he must tell. And that lie he told. And through that lie he brought death. And he has always lied. And he cannot stand the truth, said the Lord Jesus Christ. In some way, these people cannot stand the truth. Verse 44 again of John chapter 8. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources." If you notice there, the resources are written in italics. And what it means is, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own. In other words, he speaks from his own being. It's his nature. That's all he knows. And that's all he can do. For he is a liar and the father of it, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, that's what you're doing. You are so full of the devil's lie, you have no room for truth. You cannot stand the truth. You cannot bear the truth. Just like your father, the devil, who is full of lies, who cannot stand the truth, who can never tell the truth. And that's your problem, our Lord Jesus says in the second place. Lie is all you know. You cannot stand the truth. Verse 45, he says, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. I tell you the truth, you cannot bear it, so you don't believe me. You don't want it. You don't want to have anything to do with the truth. You have no room for the truth in you. The same lie. Genesis 3:1, Genesis 3:4. Right from the beginning, the devil used to bring death. And then in the third place, the Lord says to them, just as the devil is not of God, but he is opposed to God, you are also not of God. You are opposed to God, so you cannot take the word of God. Look at verses 46 and 47. Which of you convicts me of sin? Which of you can accuse me of sin and prove the sin? None. And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe the truth? Why don't you believe it? And then in verse 47, our Lord Jesus Christ says, he who is of God hears God's word. And the implication is obvious. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You are not of God. Just as the devil is not of God, you are not of God. Just as the devil is opposed to God, you are opposed to God. And the devil cannot believe the truth. In the same way, you don't believe the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All I speak is the truth. The truth as I have heard it from my Father. But you don't want to believe it. Why don't you? Because you are not of God. Because you are opposed to God. And that you share with your Father. And that is the devil. You are the devil's children. Like we say today, like father, like son. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them. You are like your father, and that is the devil. Let me just, in application, make two quick applications this morning. It is Christ who said, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, there in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 20. By their fruits you shall know them. And by fruits he is referring to the fruit of the person's character. He is referring to that which a person is inclined to do. That which by nature you are inclined to exhibit. By their fruits you shall know them. And here our Lord Jesus Christ says of these people, he says they are inclined to do the works of their father. And that father is the devil. Because he's the one that does the things that they are doing. They are clearly betraying the character of their father. They are doing the works that their father wants them to do. They are showing that they belong to him. He is their father, and they are about his bidding. They are doing his bidding. I ask you this morning, who is your father? Who is your father? Whose son, whose daughter are you? Who do you belong to? God or the devil? Which one is it? Now you can answer honestly. And you can answer that by checking your life. Look at your life. Look at yourself. Whose works are you inclined to do? When you're not here, when you're out there about your life, what is your natural tendency? To tell lies? To go about sinning, doing those things that you know you shouldn't be doing? Or are you about God's work? Do you listen to his call? If you love me, keep my commandments. Obey my. Do you obey his commandments? Is that what you do? Who do you obey? Because the one you obey, it is to him you belong. If your natural tendency is to go about living your life as you want it, sinning, doing those things that you know are clearly wrong and against God's word, then you are a child of the devil. But if you seek to obey God's commandment and to do his work, to go about his business, then you are a child of God. The second thing is this. Here, in this portion of scripture, we find the clearest teaching about Satan in the Gospel of John. This is where we have the clearest teaching by John about Satan. It is here that he tells us, that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, that the devil is a real person. Satan is real. He is not the figment of men's imaginations. He is not what the world makes him out to be today. He is real. But we also find here, our Lord makes clear that the devil is a fallen being. He is fallen. He does the wrong things. Murderer from the beginning, a liar. And he uses people. He uses individuals like you and I. He uses people to go about his business. He uses people to kill. He uses people to tell lies. He uses people to argue against God. It's people that he uses. And the Lord shows that clearly to these people, as he's showing it to us even now. The devil is real. He is fallen. But he uses people to do the things that he wants them to do. And many think, when they talk about the devil, they do the things of the devil, you know, he is just a figment of their imagination. He is not real. No, the Lord Jesus says he is real. The real person. Now, in other circumstances, remember, the Bible tells us that the devil transforms himself into an angel of light in order to deceive people into doing his works. 2 Corinthians 11:14. He is real. He is fallen. He is the adversary. He is the enemy. He wants your soul. He wants to take you to hell. With all his cunning devices, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, and there in chapter 2 and in verse 11. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, we know that he transforms himself into an angel of light. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and there in verse 11, the apostle tells us that this same Satan, this same devil, we, the children of God, are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of the schemes, the devices, the evil intentions of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. The scripture makes his devices clear. He is exposed. His devices are exposed. His children are exposed. We are ignorant of his devices. And remember how the Apostle John puts it in 1 John chapter 3. He tells us there, haven't we told before that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan? John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Christ came to destroy the devices, destroy all the schemes, destroy all the plans of the devil, and he has done it. That was what he came. And that was what he came for. And that was what he accomplished upon the cross of Christ. When he said, "It is finished," it was finished. He has done it. And if we believe in him and trust in him, we will be delivered. We will be saved. We will be set free from the evil one. And we will become the children of the living God. And here John chapter 8 verse 42 tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, if God were your father, you will love me. God's children love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love him. And we love him because he loved us. You see, we will not have loved the Lord Jesus Christ if he did not love us. And it is his love that is the cause of our love for him. Do you love him? Do you love him? Keep his commandments. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your word. We bless you, Lord, for the truth of the gospel. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he came indeed to destroy the works of Satan in order that he might save those who were in bondage to Satan, deliver them, make them your children, and cause them to know what it means to love him and to love you who first loved us. Lord, save even this morning. Add to your kingdom those who you are saving. May nothing said or done here this morning, O Lord, be held in testimony against any one of us on that day when the Lord of glory comes to judge the living and the dead. But we pray that everything that has been said or done here this morning might be held in our favor when the Son of God comes to take his own, to be with him forever and ever. Have mercy, help us, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We'll sing a closing hymn this morning, which is hymn number 700.